It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, hope your Friday is going well as we get past the regular work week for many of us, not all of us. And we are going through this calendar year to me in rapid rate as we've celebrated Memorial Day earlier this week. And it is just literally moments away, I think, from our 250th birthday for America. And we are a great country, and it's a blessing to be living in America. With me today is Jennifer Burns. And Jennifer, you are part of American Faith Academy. And Jennifer, this is a Christian school organization. You guys cover all the bases on education for people that want to go a different way than the public school system. Why don't you go ahead, Jennifer, introduce yourself a little bit and tell us about what you're doing. And we're just going to go from there, Jennifer. It's so good to have you on. And by the way, folks, Jennifer is just, you're just 45 minutes away from Chicago, right? Why don't you just talk about that?
I am. Jake, it's so good to be with you and all of your listeners. Well, I wear a few different hats. First and foremost, I'm the mama of three young men, 27, 22, and 17-year-old young men. And I've been a homeschooler since my oldest was four. I also wear the hat of being someone who started a classical Christian hybrid school 20 years ago at the resurgence of classical education in the United States. What used to just be called education, now we have to qualify it, being called classical education. And then I've had the absolute pleasure of walking alongside people across this country who desire to start schools similar to that. And I've been doing that for about 5 years. And most recently, I wear kind of two hats simultaneously. One is the president of Accelera.org, and that is an institution that is helping people who feel called, just as I did 20 years ago, to start a classical Christian hybrid school in their area. We walk alongside of them and help them do that. And then I also wear the hat of head of school of American Faith Academy and help people who build community online, who desire to give their children an exceptional education that is classically focused, Christian focused. And we're doing that through American Faith Academy.
Wonderful. Let's go ahead and start with the American Faith Academy. And 20 years ago, and there's been quite a shift. And we've had homeschool parents on this program numerous times talking about how they felt it was time to start their kids from, pre-kindergarten, and they take it to the highest level they can. And then many times they feel like, okay, our kids can now go to high school because we're still going to, a public high school, that is, we're still going to keep our tabs on them, which is such a big part of it. What is it that you saw in your experience? You've got three young men under your roof, so to speak, that you decided, all right, we need to step up the Christian education. And I guess I should ask, were you a public school gal, Jennifer? What was your background growing up?
Yes, I was a public school student, and I wasn't a Christian. I became a Christian later in life when my oldest was two. And once the Lord got a hold of me, then I was just on fire for Him, wanting to be obedient to Him. And part of that obedience was providing a Christian education for my own children. And then the Lord really laid on my heart to provide that for others. It was kind of in tandem with one another. So I've 20 years ago, the Lord just grabbed hold of my shoulders and said, "This is what I want you to do." And I was walking in obedience.
So
to his calling.
All right. Wonderful. 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 The so when you looked at things 20 years ago, what is it that made you say, all right, I'm not going to, I find some things in the public school education that I don't want to see happen. What was it that made you want to go this route? What is it that the Holy Spirit instilled in you, Jennifer, that bugs you perhaps about a public school? You went to one. What is it? What's the trends? What was it that kind of just like were red flags to you?
So I'll be really honest with you. 20 years ago, I truly had the belief that it really was up to any parent. That sure, if you felt called to have your kids in public school, that's fine. I felt called to provide an alternative. And at that time, it wasn't necessarily because I saw something negative in the public school, but it's what it was missing, right? Okay. It was missing that foundation in a godly education.
Right.
And at that time, even as a baby believer, I felt like you can't, once the Lord lifted the scales off of my own eyes, it really became apparent to me that if you were going to raise your children in a Christian home, that all education should be Christian education. That Christian education shouldn't be relegated just to Sunday school or maybe a Wednesday night youth group, but instead it was the totality of looking at education and child formation in a very holistic way, so that you couldn't separate the academics from the soul and heart formation.
That is, you bring up something that was brought to my attention years ago when I was in the Midwest in Northwest Iowa. I went to a school called Dort College, which is now Dort University. Mm-hmm. They are based off the Christian Reformed denomination. And I went to public school with devout Christian parents. So we got everything from the Wednesday night to the Sunday school to going regularly to church, which was all great. But what the college taught me, or the university now, was everything is interlocked. I used to just think English class is English class, history class is history class, and the two don't meet. And math doesn't meet English or science, and they're just separate. And you said holistic, that caught my attention. That was my first real, oh yeah, everything's important, because you heard it. Why do I got to know about verbs and subjects and nouns when I'm going to do this or this or that? Well, it is important. There's a part of this holistic part of education. I get what you're saying there. And it makes perfect sense, Jennifer.
Yeah. And I think that we separate things and compartmentalize them, when really what the Lord tells us is that our chief end, our purpose for being here, is to know Him, glorify Him, and enjoy Him forever. That is our chief end. So it just makes sense that education is in alignment with that. And when you think about what education is, it is our understanding of who He is, who we are in light of Him, how the world that He created works. So science is a study of His creation. Math is a study of His order of things. History is His story, and it is all interwoven together and interconnected, because it is all an education about who He is. And really, education is less about, and we've unfortunately turned it into this idea that we look at these subjects that we're learning and we think to ourselves, how is this going to get me into college or be useful for me in my job? Instead of stepping back and thinking, what does this do to me? What does the study of algebra do to me? What does the study of science do to me? Because education is formation. You know, learning, for example, cursive, which unfortunately is not taught in many schools these days anymore because they think, oh, they're just going to type things. But it's a study of beauty, the beauty and patience that it takes to learn cursive that does something to your soul. And that's where we need to get back to our understanding that education isn't just about getting into a good college and getting a good job, but it is truly transformational.
It really is. And by the way, I got to get back to your line about what our chief aim in life is. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number one. Jennifer, you just got a little reformed on me right there. I don't even know if you know that. So there you go, because I'm going back to my own little catechism classes back when I was younger. Jennifer Burns from the American Faith Academy with us today, and you are listening to Jake Atzma. This is Rural Matters. Hang on. We're gonna start finding out what American Faith Academy is right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters back, round two. And growing season upon us, guys. Tractors everywhere. Hops are flying up. We are in the most agricultural, we're a very productive valley here in Willamette Valley. There's the San Joaquin Valley. They're huge. Yakima Valley, yeah, they're big and bad. But we've got ours going on out here. And to all the farmers out right now, mercies, getting your crops in. We could use some rain. It's dry. It's dry. And by the way, Jennifer, I was out not far from you. Iowa isn't too far from Illinois and all that, but not exactly wet out in the Midwest. There's a little bit of drought going on. So, and they don't use irrigation like we do out here. That's one thing. Anyway, Jennifer, you're out in Illinois. You're not far from Chicago. I'd like to talk about, people are listening to you and they're saying, what's your educational background post high school, Jennifer? I want to talk about that a little bit, because then I want to dovetail that into the American Faith Academy and how that came about.
Sure. So the Lord took me on a very circuitous path, but He wastes nothing, and that's what I so love about the Lord. He knows and. He knew exactly what I was going to do and what it took to get there. But it seems a little strange because my background is actually in marketing. I went to the University of Kansas undergrad and then Northwestern University for my master's degree. And my focus really was on marketing. And in my previous life, once I left grad school, I was a marketing consultant, and I focused on consumer insight, meaning that I studied consumers and how they thought and what they did in order to help my clients anticipate what their clients would need in the future. In so far as the products that they needed and the services and the communication and support that they would need. And it is through that understanding that all products, all services should be birthed out of what consumers really need to make their lives better is how I actually got into education. I saw the need that I saw the world underestimating our children and continuing to lower the bar when I knew how much potential they had because I knew who created them and that the Lord just equipped these kids with so much. And the world kept lowering the bar and saying, no, you can't handle it, when I was confident that they could. And so it was that consumer insight, if you will, that really burst what we are doing at American Faith Academy.
And I gotta let my listeners know, you spent time up in Portland. And you are very familiar. Yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit? Let people know that you know where I'm coming from. Broadcasting.
I do. I do. I love the Willamette Valley. It's so beautiful and had just such an honor and privilege to spend a good deal of time out in your neck of the woods and experience its beauty and how wonderful the people are there, because my largest client, it was Hewlett Packard, and so had the privilege of doing a lot of work with them. And so I spent a lot of time in Vancouver and Portland and Corvallis and Eugene and all of those wonderful, beautiful places out there.
Yeah, you really did. Talk a little bit about Hewlett Packard. You were taking your major and you were helping them. How did that work?
Right. So I'm aging myself.
That's okay. I'm probably older than you.
About 30 years ago I was working with HP, and digital cameras, for example, were just at its, they were just starting to come to market, and talking to families really about how they wanted to capture memories and what was important to them, and helping Hewlett Packard then understand what they needed to do to build out their digital camera division and their inkjet division, and what was important to consumers.
Wonderful.
So it was a real pleasure and honor to do that.
How long were you out here, Jennifer? How long were you out in Oregon?
Well, I would travel there over the course of 7 or 8 years. I was working with them.
So this was, you would be going back and forth from the Midwest to Portland or what have you, or what?
Yes.
All right. Let's, you become a believer, and you then, realize, the things we were talking about. Where did American Faith Academy come from? And talk about this organization, its history, a little bit what it's all about, and your involvement in it.
Sure. So as I shared with you that, 20 years ago, the Lord laid on my heart to create this classical Christian school. And it's really interesting to see over the course of those 20 years, the target audience, if you will, of that school. First, 20 years ago, it was the diehard homeschooling mamas who said, I felt called to homeschool and kind of bucked the system, if you will, because that's what those of us who were homeschooling 20 years ago, we were looked at funny. We were renegades. People were thinking, why in the world would you not put your child in school? And why would you take on really the responsibility that is due to the public school system? And so felt called to do that. A little bit into our tenure, there was a market downturn, and private school families were coming to us saying, we really value Christian education, but it's too expensive for us now. Can you walk alongside of us? I never thought I'd homeschool, but I do know that Christian education is important, and so you're helping me bridge the gap. You're helping me be something that I wasn't expecting to be, and that is a homeschool mom. And so we walked alongside those folks. The last, since COVID, so 6-7 years now, we've had people who sit across from me to say, Jen, I never thought Christian education was important. Sure, we might go to church on Sunday, but I really didn't think it was important to have Christian education extend beyond that. And I never thought I would homeschool. And so I, please give me the tools that we need. So this was happening over and over again. And then what was also happening is this groundswell across the country, from Alaska to Florida and everywhere in between, people were raising their hands saying, we need an alternative to the public education, and actually the private education, even in our area. Private education is too expensive. The public education is not the place that we want to put our children. Help us give an alternative to that. And we really had a blueprint for affordable and exceptional education. And so that was that was getting noticed. And 4 years ago, Turning Point USA, I don't know how familiar everyone is with
organization,
but it was the organization led by Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
He tells this very fun story where when he started, he said, you know, little old ladies would come up to him with a check for $50 and say, Charlie, you need to do something about K through 12 education. You know, reaching the kids in college, that's great, but we need to do something about K through 12 education. As he went on, and the circumstances within government education became what they are today, those voices got louder, the checks got bigger, the people were really with great emphasis saying to him, Charlie, you need to do something about K through 12 education. So about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, Charlie started Turning Point Education, and I had the absolute pleasure of helping give form to that. And part of our initiatives at Turning Point Education were to help people start schools across the country.
We're going
to
pause.
The ones that I had started 20 years ago.
We're going to pause right here, Jennifer, because I want to stay on this vein. Jake, Real Matters, be right back.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, back half of the program already. And as always, so grateful for your listenership here in the capital of Oregon. And this station, almost the center of the city, of the capital of the state. And we cover a lot of the valley, east, west, north, and south. It's an honor, you guys. And always grateful for the support I get from the staff here at 1430 KYKN, everybody. Love it. Jennifer Burns, American Faith Academy. And you, Jennifer, speaking of the middle, are out in Illinois and not far from Chicago. Let's talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk. His story is going to just keep going and going. What was your experiences with him? How much did you get to visit with him? Particularly when you started talking about American Faith Academy, the education part of TPUSA.
Right. So the education part of Turning Point USA is called Turning Point Education, and it was truly an honor to be with Charlie. People will often say to me that they've admired him from afar, and they were dedicated listeners of his and followers of his. And then they'll say, but I didn't know him. And I know what they mean. They had never met him. But if you listened to him, then you knew him. Because really, he was the same person. He was just a treasure, humble, lovely, smart, whip smart. I would say maybe the only thing that you don't know about him, or maybe wouldn't think that you knew about him when you heard him speak, is that he was also an amazing listener. He was truly someone who was a lifelong learner and would take every opportunity that he could to listen to the people around him and glean whatever wisdom they had to share. And so he was really an incredible man, and built a wonderful organization. I feel so honored and privileged to have known him, worked for him, and really worked with the people of Turning Point USA.
Oh, that's amazing. Real quick, how did you guys come in contact where you actually wound up spending time there? How did that happen, Jennifer?
Yes, so the chief education officer, the gentleman who was assigned to that role, actually has a fun story that I'll briefly share, but he was the president of a Christian school here in the area that I live in, which happens to be the area in which Charlie Kirk grew up.
There you go.
And he went to that Christian school that he was the president of, not at the same time. Charlie had been there much earlier. And when Charlie actually came to know the Lord at that Christian school, and then obviously thought very fondly of it. So as he started to gain success, he wanted to give back to that school. And it was at that time that this gentleman, Hertzberg, who is still the chief education officer of Turning Point Education, came in contact with Charlie because he was kind enough to donate to that school. And they struck up a friendship, and Hutz and I were close because we were both educators in the same area. And he actually had his daughter at my school, and he thought very favorably of our school and our model, and thought it was one that needed to be multiplied, and so brought me along to help him start Turning Point Education when Charlie reached out to him and said, hey, we need to do something about K-12 education. Hutz said, that's great, and was kind enough to lock arms with me to help make that happen.
Wonderful. Great story. We all miss him. And tough time last fall. Just unbelievable. All right, Jennifer, we got to get to American Faith Academy. And what is it about? How does it work? Give us some Cliff Note versions here. We've got about 5 minutes before the segment ends, Jennifer. Just go ahead and run with it.
Excellent. So what I learned as I was working with people across the country through Turning Point USA is that really people who wanted to start schools needed more. It is a heavy lift to start a school. And in order to do that well, we needed a turnkey solution. So I ended up going off on my own to help make that happen, and gave rise to Accelera.org and American Faith Academy. And American Faith Academy is really built on three distinct pillars. One is that every single class is taught from a biblical worldview. That's really important. The second is that we know how to educate children, and this classical pedagogy is how the greatest thinkers in all of Western civilization were taught, some more formally than others, but we know it works, and it is because it's founded on our understanding of how all people learn. And by leaning into that understanding and having it form not only what we teach students, but how we approach those subjects and how we approach students, that understanding really helps form young people who know how to think well, know how to learn well themselves. And so that is the second pillar, that classical pedagogy and understanding of what works. And then the third is the use of technology in a way that helps meet students where they are and move at their pace. And so what's distinct about American Faith Academy is we're using AI, but we call it adaptive instruction. It is one where we are able to know and understand what a student needs and move them along at their pace responsibly, and using the tool in a way that actually brings more out of our student and helps us get more out of that student, helps them progress and soar better and faster than ever before.
Wow. We've got 2 minutes. If somebody is listening to this and they go, well, all right, how do I start this in my backyard? How do I get a hold of this? And what do I got to do? Why don't you talk about that? And then we'll continue it going into the next segment, Jennifer?
Excellent. So there are two options. If you are someone who simply is trying to homeschool your own kiddos, then go to AmericanFaithAcademy.org to learn more about our online school and our virtual community that is thriving and being built there. And if you feel called to start a school in your area, we'd love to walk alongside of you. And you can go to excelera.org. That's excelera.org and learn more about what it takes to start a school. And we'd love to walk alongside you in that effort.
That's great, because people are going to listen and they're hearing you. And I'm hearing you too. You know, we've got about 20 seconds in this segment. It's come a long way. Homeschooling, the Christian education part is, it really started to take off, gosh, I want to say 40 years ago. And it's lost the weirdness, if you ask me, Jennifer.
Parents are loving the flexibility of being home with their kids and all of the resources available to walk alongside of them to be able to do that and do that well and provide exceptional education and then have the time to truly disciple their children and spend beautiful quality time with them. So it's a great mix.
It really is. It is. And listen, we're going to keep going with this. Jennifer Burns, American Faith Academy, and Jake right here, Rural Matters. We're going to talk more about it and talk about education as a whole right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, fastest hour of my weekly life right here with you guys. And man, coming into July, it'll be 4 years of this program, and I'm so grateful for that. Time flies. And so we continue on with Jennifer Burns, American Faith Academy. And Jennifer, this is not a dig at public education, but I do know here in Oregon, we spend a lot of money on public education, and it's higher per student than maybe a lot of places. And the results on a national level at times aren't that great. Now, I want to make that caveat, because I have a grandson that's going to go through the public school system, and he's doing fantastic because mom and dad are clued in and very hands-on with not only whatever's going on in school, but how they're training him at home. What are your thoughts there in Illinois?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we just need to look at the results. And yes, on an individual basis, you might have these shining stars, as there are in any circumstance. But the question is this the best place for our children? And the data shows differently. Our nation's report card identifies that 2 or 3 out of 10 students is proficient in math and reading and civics. That means that 7 or 8 out of 10 students are not. And that's not acceptable. But think about any industry. If your doctor had that kind of results, if the airplane pilots had those kinds of results,
oh, that'd be bad.
it wouldn't be okay. So there is a big problem. Our students are more depressed and anxious than ever. They feel unable to handle the pressures of society. And I believe that all of this is the result of us being unmoored or unanchored from biblical truth. And the further and further away that we've gotten from that, the more lost our children are and the more unprepared they are. So I often talk to parents really not about the nature of the government schools and what's going on there, but more I like to cast a vision for the kind of education that is truly worthy of our children. Our children are deserving of so much more. They are worthy of a high-quality education that is focused on goodness, truth, and beauty, that challenges them to be young men and young women of virtue, that equips them to be the nobles in training that they are. They will have dominion over the earth. We need to train them up to be worthy of that. And we need to prepare them for whatever God has in store for them. That kind of preparation is one that is undergirded in the truth. And we need to prepare students, especially in this world that is changing, and there's so much possibility built in with technology and the advancements that are happening today. We need to make sure that we are raising young men and young women, as C.S. Lewis talks about, with chess. Right? Because if we only educate the mind, then we are creating, as he said, more clever devils.
Right.
We need to make sure that we are anchoring our education in what is good and true and beautiful, so that we're creating young men and young women who have the capability to look at something and say, okay, even though I know this can be done, is this something that should be done? And that requires education in virtue.
Let me ask you, while we're on this vein, let's say that I've got a listener and they're not affiliated with any denomination. They might just be agnostic. Are you finding that unchurched, maybe I would use the word carefully, a non-believer, are they finding homeschool? Is there something in that realm? Are you hearing anything about that?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that that's also happening. I think there are people who are recognizing, and it could very well be, they're recognizing that their own child isn't, say, being challenged enough in a government school, or maybe they have anxieties and the environment of a government school isn't quite meeting their needs. And so I think the Lord might be using that as a way to help them see that there is a different kind of education. As I shared with you, the target audience, if you will, or the audience that my school has reached over the years, it's amazing to me how many people who would not consider themselves to be, if they consider themselves to be Christians, they might not be the same way that they would say, well, I grew up in the church.
Right.
They might not be current kind of active Christians or churchgoers, and they are recognizing that their children need a moral grounding because it's not happening in the government school system.
Well, we've had a lot of things happen that, from the whole transgender thing, and it's made its way in too deep, too bad, too big and bad. Mm-hmm. And there are those things that, if you can't beat them, you have to join them. Well, no, then I want out of there. I don't follow that. And it's not what I want. And what are we talking about that anyway for? I mean, really, we look at education as a whole, and I believe on President Trump's cabinet, Lisa McMahon, I believe, is the cabinet member for education. If you could have a two-minute, if you could have a conversation with her, Jennifer, what would you say to her? What would you say to her to help her out?
Well, I'm so grateful that she has the posture of wanting to abolish the Department of Education. I don't know that that has served our children well. I also really appreciate the administration's push for school choice. And I think that's really important. Parents know their children best, and all children should be able to have an opportunity to have an exceptional education. And the reality is that parents have school choice. It's just how much money are you willing to spend for that choice. And so being able to have the money coming back to the parents to spend the way they see fit for their child's education, whether that be in the way of an ESA or an education savings account, which is what some states have, or have the ability to get funding through an SGO, which is a scholarship granting organization. Either way, I think the more money that comes back to the parents so that they can make the educated decision for their own family and not have it be a hardship, a financial hardship for them. Because all education is transformative. The question is, what is it transforming your child into? And all education costs something.
It does. So whether you lie about that,
you might not think that your government education is costing you something. Well, it absolutely is, certainly in the way of tax dollars. But then also, again, the time that your children are spending away from you in that institution, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, it's at a cost, right? And so we need, as parents, I think parents are the best people to determine where their children should go, where their children should get transformed.
Fantastic. We've got 1 minute. Jennifer, real quick, organization that you're in, Growing Well, how we doing? And then give us the contact info one more time.
Absolutely. Well, we would love everyone in the Willamette Valley to check out AmericanFaithAcademy.org. We'd absolutely love to serve your family and help you provide an education that is truly worthy of your children. And if you feel called to start your own classical Christian hybrid school, we would absolutely love to walk alongside of you and help you be obedient to the Lord in that way through excelera.org. That's excelara.org. And thank you so much.
So much on your part, too. It's great to visit with you, Jennifer, and I'm going to keep you on my little Rolo dial. I want to visit with you some more as we go forward. God bless. Jennifer Burns, American Faith Academy, Jake Rural Matters. See you next week.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.